Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
You're going to really love this subject. Crazy fast business growth, how to succeed when stakes are high, everything breaks, and chaos is the norm. So welcome, Annie Hyman-Pratt. How are you this morning, Annie?
I'm good, thank you.
Great, and you're a lady, and I've got such a calm voice, but I'm going to have to chuckle because the subject we've picked up is really high energy. So let me introduce Annie. She's from Shared Vision Partners, which is a consulting practice based in the greater Los Angeles area that helps clients become outcome focused and gets results fast, no matter how messy or challenging the situation. And Annie knows that firsthand because being a member of the founding family of the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, from her early 20s, she was in a C-suite position helping lead what began as a mom-and-pop culture of 7 stores through rapid global expansion. So in other words, that truly crazy fast business growth where stakes were high, as she'll tell us, everything broke and chaos was the norm. And in just 7 years, they grew the business tenfold, developed a unique brand strategy, pioneered new products, including the often now copied ice blended beverage, implemented overseas expansion, and developed, I love this term, a rock star management team combined with high performance company culture. The end result was a high value sale to private concerns that now boasts over 900 stores worldwide. So today, Annie is expanding her leadership impact by teaching uniquely effective organizational change management methods that are centered on establishing individual and collective empowerment while enhancing, instead of sacrificing, accountability, which is a popular word, of course, here on our show, teamwork and high quality results, both profitability in mind as well as individual fulfillment in the mix. A graduate of UCLA and a licensed CPA holding a master's in spiritual psychology, Annie's passion for education and achievement also is evident with her 10-year membership of the Young Presidents Organization as she dedicates time to helping others further their careers and most recently moderating a Lean In Circle for young businesswomen. So Annie, again, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, the Coffee Bean, I mean, when your family was ramping the business, 7 stores, did it ever dawn on you what a journey that was going to become?
Oh, no, it didn't. And when I came on board, the coffee market was just heating up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
pun intended,
you know, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just heating up. And I remember when I first came on board, I was asking store managers if they could just get to $25,000 a month. Mm-hmm. That would be great. And 7 years later, those same stores were, some of them were doing over $100,000 a month. So the change during that time was just incredibly rapid, mostly because the drinks, the beverages were really catching on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also that the social acceptance and desire and pull to this coffee locations for a sense of community. I mean, there was a whole lot of social change going on at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, so I think, again, as a young leader in your 20s, no less, to be sitting astride a business that was getting the chance to product innovation, although who would have known? Coffee, beverages, drinks, are you kidding? But yeah. Then to watch how the business has shifted even over all these years of really the coffee industry and the emporium such as the Coffee Bean even reshaping what the restaurant industry wants to look like.
Oh, yes, for sure. For sure. Yeah, our the coffee model first of all, it's quite a lucrative one, and in that you can get customers who come every day. In fact, our heaviest using customers came more than twice a day, and super, super loyal. And you get to offer a product that's at a pretty darn good price.
Mm-hmm.
People walk away and enjoy your store really, really happy.
It's also been fun to watch two young professionals, actually not just young professionals, that are choosing to be baristas there because of the whole customer-facing skills-building process. So you're also seeing, you know, I think quite surprised to many, an industry, a venue that's providing leadership development training, customer sales skills, or so on to feed into other businesses?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And at Coffee Bean, we were very focused on the customer experience. In fact, one of the things that we did early on was when we were having trouble making drinks fast enough for our customers because the lines would go out the door, mm-hmm. we tried a ticket system where we had numbers for people. And somebody at the stores quickly suggested, hey, how about if we try getting the customers' first names?
Right.
That would help us be, you know, that would help us with our speed. There wouldn't be a lot of confusion when people are picking up their drinks, because when you say, you know, tall, non-fat latte.
With a twist and a flip and
exactly,
all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People get confused. Was that mine or was that not mine? And so we started using first names, and that quickly became a great way to connect with the customers because we got to know them. And it was such a lovely way to personalize the service.
When my husband goes to the coffee places, he personally uses a different name every time just for the fun of it.
Yes.
And then what happens is the other people in the store that see him go do that and says, wait a minute, that's Ted. That's not Chad.
Right.
That's not Chad's coffee. And he kind of like, guys, you're blowing my cover.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the environment, of course, and so thank you for that broader perspective. But on the inside, though, for you personally as a leader, you were sharing to me that really with everything that was going on in this crazy change, that there was a certain element and expectation of need to control, but yet you really couldn't control because the business was out of control.
That's right. I mean, we were growing so fast. We were adding more than a store a month, and each of those stores was growing so much in their own revenue. We also had a very vertically integrated business, so we did all of our own manufacturing. We built our own stores. We did our own importing. We had our own distribution system. So with that big growth, everything broke. I don't have a better way to say it. Just everything broke. And when I tried to put myself in the center of the wheel, that like I was the point mm-hmm. of contact, I was going to fix manufacturing, I was going to, you know, help get with all the distribution guys and figure out how to fix that mess, that I would be the main contact for all the store managers. When I tried to do that as the kind of the center of the wheel, I couldn't communicate enough information.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to tell people what to do instead of what I was looking for, instead of what a good outcome looked like.
Right, outcome.
And when I did that, I couldn't possibly communicate enough that could get good results. I mean, it was, you know, I would leave out all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what I needed to know.
That's right, yeah.
So I started to hook people together. Again, like out of sheer desperation, knowing I don't know everything that I need to know here. And suddenly we were talking about what good outcomes look like what we're going for, getting people really clear on what we're going for, and then letting everybody cross-communicate and talk with each other about how we all might get there. And that was the thing that changed everything. Was just really talking about what are we really going for here, and letting everybody work together to get there.
So truly that idea of partnership and imagining as well that your partnership in time to manage this growth, did you stay then still highly vertically integrated throughout this period of time too?
We sure did.
You did? Okay.
We sure did. There were times when we had to supplement, or kind of, I would say that we had to lean on some vendors and sure. a few outside services to help us. But our main divisions stayed fully intact and in fact upgraded.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. This idea of there's an inherent empowerment that happens in delegation. When you've got the right, you know, safety nets in the culture of how people treat one another, backup systems, and
yes.
proactive recovery possibilities.
Yes, for sure. Yes, and we were doing that so well at the time without even knowing it so well.
To call.
You know, I mean, we basically would come together to management meetings and problem solve. We talk about what we've got on track and what's happening and what areas we really need to problem solve in. And then we're all in the room together to be able to do it with very quick communication. And that was the thing that saved us because, again, we had a lot of problems to solve at the time for all kinds of things. Lots of staff turnover was an issue for a while. The manufacturing plant being able to keep up was a big issue for a while.
Well, it's interesting. We're speaking with Annie Hyman Pratt, and her business today is Shared Vision Ventures. She's giving us a flavor for her phenomenal background, having grown with, personally with, as well as the business of the coffee bean and tea leaf. I think we should also add, of course, that we started out by saying this is also a family-run business. So you also had, you know, uncles, aunts, moms, dads, sisters, siblings, engagement, and that adds a whole nother flavor to the leadership learnings, I suspect.
Oh, yes, it certainly did. Yes. I think one of the hardest parts of family business is the family part.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That operative, the F word.
Yeah. My parents were incredible in that they gave me an amazing amount of autonomy and decision-making authority, especially for my age. That was incredible. But you know, there were still times that we had some challenges. My father especially is a very much an entrepreneur's entrepreneur and has very strong ideas about things. So for the things that I couldn't change, he was very clear about that.
Yep, what the run rules are for your daughter, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, in some regards, your story, though, of Coffee Bean, you're telling us a little bit with the advantage of 2020 hindsight, but I've got to imagine that the idea that you were changing the culture wasn't something you were necessarily mindful of. It was a resultant of now looking in the rearview mirror, this rapid growth and expansion.
Yes, exactly. We had a really strong purpose to grow. I mean, we and everybody within the company was clearly on board for that. Like, we all wanted a really good outcome. It was a lot of fun to grow, and because of that, we were all up at the plate, and I think really willing to work with each other in the best way that we could. And so, looking back, I could see how there was a huge culture change. Before the early 90s, the business was quite stable and very, very slow growing. So I think people were quite comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then with the growth, immediately everybody got pushed out of their comfort zone. But because we stayed focused on the growth and stayed really worked together well on all the problem solving, again, looking in the rearview mirror, we had an amazing culture change.
Sure, and again, that's that magic word, outcome focused. Well, Annie, yeah. I mentioned in the introduction, of course, that you're actually a licensed CPA, so an accounting analytical background, God bless you,
yeah.
and that you even have said to me on other occasions that you're pretty introverted, which I can't fathom that really is the case. But
the
learning again and gravitating and expansion of your own mind to deal with probably some pretty broad social styles, work styles, and so on. Did you find yourself having anchoring in certain colleagues that could guide you through your own young development during this very different environment?
Oh, yes. I sure did. At the time, I had a business consultant and coach who was incredibly important for helping me, especially helping me flex my social style or be able to work with styles that were very different than my own so that I could communicate feedback, so that I could have collaborative discussions, because all that was pretty hard for me. As an introvert and an analytical, whenever I sense something that feels like conflict to me, my natural reaction is to step back, kind of fold my arms across my chest and become pretty quiet. And I had certainly people within our company that were highly extroverted. In fact, I had a director of operations who was amazing with the stores and all the store managers and district managers, and she was very high energy. And anytime I gave her some feedback, she became more extroverted,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? And so I really had to learn that when she stood up and came towards me, I couldn't back up. I actually needed to stand up a bit straighter,
mm-hmm.
and express myself a little more, what felt like was kind of loud to me, but I've had many people tell me, no, Annie, you're not being loud at all. And, yeah, to be able to go ahead and flex, knowing that this is just her style.
Well, and actually, as a leader, you realize you don't want a whole lot of people around you like you, because you're going to get more of the same. And
that's right.
You're absolutely right. But I think I'm probably more that tall redhead that stepped up and always raised her hand and had the first comment. And, oh, my, how I've benefited so greatly by have those around me just like you. In fact, I loved hanging out with the people from finance more often than not. Usually it's because I loved sending them to the budget meetings instead of me. But
sure.
But it's that partnership that plays out. Well, yeah. Annie, this industry, the restaurant specialty food item, as well as obviously you've broadened your bandwidth to consult and advise other organizations in your role now with Shared Vision Ventures. Being a woman in business, particularly in these high profile environments, some of your biggest learnings or aha moments?
Yes. One of my biggest learnings is that I don't have to be a man out there in the world.
Yep.
As a businesswoman, I'm able to really keep my feminine qualities and still be a really strong leader. And especially when I work with women leaders, I'm coaching them a lot on how to do the same. One of my biggest aha moments is a strength that I feel that all of us as women really have, that is can really serve us, is our quality of being receptivity.
Mm-hmm.
That we're really open to new ideas. We're open to change. We often very thoughtfully consider what's happening around us. And I think that's an incredibly important quality for women's leadership, and that is not a pushover, but in fact can be used in service to just getting some amazing outcomes and being a great partner with anybody we're working with in business.
Well, particularly because that quality of receptivity, if you recognize when you turn it on and turn it off, or how much you expose it, because, you know, some environments do require real fast action, stepping up hard,
yep.
Not coming off like you're processing 20 things in your head at the same time, which, of course, you've lived in that, your whole
yes.
coffee bean experience. But the other part of it is it's extremely endearing, unoffensive, right, and can pull people then and influence others into a circle that they might not otherwise have stepped into.
Yes, that's right. And it helps bring all kinds of amazing ideas to the table. It's when I'm being receptive in a meeting, that's the way that I've been able to have the most great ideas come from the entire team to the table,
yeah.
The most great solutions. Because it's an environment that invites that.
Yeah. The other challenge for the other opportunity for women, I'll say, though, is that sometimes we have to dress rehearse things so much in our head. And
yeah.
And thus we have this whole board of directors that says, oh, you better not do that. Oh, well, don't you remember you tried that? So this internal critic thing.
Yes.
And how have you come to work with that over the years, Annie?
Yes. First of all, I've come to notice her as my internal critic.
Step one.
Yep, step one. And I identify her as my internal critic. So I'm able to say, you know, my critic is telling me that this, that I've got too much going on right now, or that this might be a big mistake. And once I'm identifying her as my internal critic, it has a lot less power over me. It's not Annie is saying this is that I'm about to enter into something that isn't could be a big mistake. It's my internal critic is saying that, my perfectionist, my inner perfectionist. And once I identify her as such, I get some separation, and then I'm in a place where I can really look at is that really true or not true.
Well, I think the other side of it, though, is that perfectionism that you have in that critic, she's actually your best friend when it comes to, I would imagine, the CFO background in you that had to watch those numbers.
But interestingly, it's like when she is running me, it's actually not a good thing.
Right, yeah.
It's, I... I don't think I've ever flipped over the edge of being not cautious enough. I'm a person that's pretty cautious. So she can have me go into a place of just kind of downright fear, and that's not good.
No, not at all.
So, right. So for me, keeping her at bay just keeps me in a place where I've got a good level of caution, not overcaution.
Well put. We're speaking with Annie Hyman-Pratt, and her company is Shared Vision Ventures, which indeed the site is sharedvisionventures.com. Annie, you also, in your precepts of working with clients, love to talk about zones. Comfort, learning, and panic zone.
Yeah.
So I'm suspecting, again, back to the recognition of those zones, probably comes right from those experiences of your leadership journey within the coffee bean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I know that, first of all, when I came back to Coffee Bean, we were going through such strong growth. Nobody was getting to reside in their comfort zone. So then we alternated between being in our learning zone, which was, you know, kind of the learning and challenge zone, which was constructive, where we made great progress, where things were going well and we were dealing with problems effectively and reaching our goals. And then when things go off the rails, any one of us would dump over into what I call the panic zone. And that's where things are a crisis, where there's not good decision making, where we're all kind of in a fight or flight response, and it's very hard to get learning or good things to be happening in that zone. So what's interesting though is that out of that panic zone, what I've known for myself and other people have found true also is that the quickest way to get out of the panic zone is to return to the comfort zone.
Comfort zone, or I actually was going to say, is this really a panic or is this an optimal opportunity for learning?
Yes. It is, but to get back to a place where you can learn from it, you've got to get out of the fight or flight response. Because out in the panic zone, we don't have access to our higher cognition.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I know you, based on, you talk about being out of your comfort zone or your own way, you've changed over time to have studied and gone the route of the CPA, the finance, and the business, and then later in life, pursuing a master's in spiritual psychology. My sense is that allowed you to give voice or name the other things you've been carrying in your heart and your head.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That work around spiritual psychology has absolutely been life-changing for me and has had me be able to embody that everything originates inside me. I'm not a victim of any of my circumstances.
Well,
I have everything I need to be okay and to be do great things in the world.
That's right, exactly. In fact, for our listeners, go to sharedvisionventures.com, and there's a download of a special white paper Annie put out there. Could you describe it for our listeners, Annie?
Sure, yeah. I put together a white paper on delegation. I found during my time as an operating executive at Coffee Bean and all kinds of other places that delegation was one of the most difficult things to do, and that it's quite misunderstood. Delegation for most people seems like, you know, you give somebody something to do, they do it, and it's done, and then, you know, everybody's shocked when it just doesn't quite go that way.
Yeah,
so I put together a white paper that really breaks down the components of delegation and what you need to set up a great partnership within it, so that things you get the leverage that you need as a leader for delegating to other people, and you get great outcomes because you're operating within the delegation as a partner.
As a partner,
it's
again,
a partnership. Yep,
it comes,
and it starts with an outcome focus.
I was going to say with the O word, the outcome focus.
Yes, that word is so important. It starts with an outcome focus.
Well, what it does is it rises us up and keeps us away from some of the lower level stuff. Not that it's stuff that has to happen, but it keeps you kind of focused on that end goal all the time. Annie, tell me, with your role in change leadership management, both within the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf Enterprise, as well as now as an independent consultant helping so many different groups, both philanthropically as well as commercially, how is it you think you've changed the most by helping others change?
Oh, gosh, that's such a good question. I, You know, I think I've gotten to know even more about myself by working with others. It's like an interesting reflection that my growth has expanded even more by getting to witness and be with others in their growth.
Absolutely. Well put, and particularly, as I mentioned in our introduction of your effort, that you've chosen to now be a teacher of the very methodologies that have served you well in your organizations, that it comes back in that reflection so clearly. So congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Very good. Well, again, for our listeners, go to sharedvisionventures.com and connect with our colleague, Annie Hyman-Pratt. We'll look forward to talking to you real soon, Annie. Thanks for contributing to our show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Be well.
Great. Thanks.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.